Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lynn. Beautiful music you have there. thank you, everyone, for being here. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, pretty good. Thank you. Excellent. All right. This is my first time leading a gathering. to many of you, you're not used to seeing my name here. I'm not an early riser, so I generally catch these gatherings later on recording. So it's good to be up this early and here with everyone this morning. as most of you are aware, this is our weekly gathering for Awakening Together. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. And we, like many other people, meet on Sunday mornings to join together. One of the first things that we do is we have an opportunity to meet and greet one another, so much as you would turn in your pews if you were in a physical church this morning and speak to the people around you. We will do that now. We'll take an opportunity to speak to each other here by typing on the board. You might want to say where you're from, where you are, where you're listening this morning, and just take an opportunity to meet and greet one another. While we do that, Lynn is going to provide us with some music.
Has been done, we shall rise with the sun, spend our time as one. Now there is no sin in anything, it's amazing. I love everything, it's all amazing. I feel new, do you feel new? I understand when they say we're born again, 'cause I've been born again, I'm born again. And it's amazing, it's the best thing, it's glorious, it's life changing. It's amazing, it's the best thing, it's glorious, it's life changing. It's been there.
Okay, that was lovely. Thank you so much, Lynn. I love that song. It was beautiful to hear it, and it just warms my heart to see everybody in communion here together this morning. It's really cool to see all the comments here on the board. We do have a format that we follow for our Sunday morning gatherings, and the first thing here is for us to look at our statement of purpose and our values. Our purpose: we are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I see Barb has posted the link to our purpose and values on the board. Our core values: we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. We live this value by supporting one another on different paths of awakening. We realize everyone is equal, and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. And this next value is one that we'll be looking at more in depth this morning. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. We affirm one true self as the only truth. We live this value by embracing what is helpful on the path of awakening without idolizing any spiritual doctrine as truth. And we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. You can find our purpose and values as Barbara has posted them on our website. Also on our website, you will see our paths of awakening. It will give you a sense of the eclectic nature of wisdom as we find it and where we find it. And I was looking at this last night, and I just thought it was really sweet here at the, thank you again, Barbara, for posting that, but I thought it was really sweet, this last paragraph after we list our various paths of awakening, including the Bhagavad Gita, the Tao, Buddha, Rumi, Kabbalah, Course in Miracles, among many others. That closing paragraph states that although teachers in scripture are helpful as we awaken to universal truth, absolute clarity always arises within oneself. For that reason, we encourage the unique expression of wisdom as it comes through our ministers, members, and friends. And that is truly the idea behind being a universal assembly of equals. We embrace the wisdom as it comes through each of us. All right. At this point, we have some announcements. First, I want to announce the Choose Again retreat that's coming up here in Colorado in May. It's May 3rd through the 10th. Barbara has just, thank you, Barbara. Barbara has just posted the information, the link for the information about the retreat. It's a retreat with Diedrich Wolzak and Claudette Thomas. Diedrich Wolzak normally has these retreats in Costa Rica, but we have the unique opportunity to experience this right here in the States, right here in Colorado, in fact. The retreat will be held at the Abbey in Canyon City, Colorado. That's about 40 miles from the Colorado Springs Airport. It's about 30 minutes from where Tom and I live here. I have heard wonderful things about this program. I had the opportunity to view some videos of a similar retreat. Those are posted there at that link that Barbara has posted here in the room that give you a real good sense, I felt, of the what you might encounter at the retreat and what the organizers hope to help you accomplish there. And the fees and the registration are all available there at that link that Barbara has posted. The organizers would have you know that you have the opportunity to learn a foolproof, ego-proof conflict resolution technique, learn to communicate fearlessly, openly, and lovingly, learn about the true nature of cause and effect, have an opportunity to integrate the teachings at a deep level, and laugh more than you have in years. And it looks like a really good program. So I encourage you, if you're interested, to check it out and sign up and join us at the retreat. And also, in terms of announcements, as Dove mentioned earlier, Dove and Lynn both mentioned, there is a monthly members meeting tonight. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And the folks who went to the March Costa Rica retreat will share about that retreat and what they felt that they got out of the retreat. As was mentioned here earlier, we are also going to be talking about specific volunteer opportunities with Awakening Together. As we said, one of the ideas, or the greatest idea behind Awakening Together, is the fact that it is an assembly of peers. So it takes all of us to have this organization be what it is intended to be, and so we do need volunteers across the board to help us do those things that we are endeavoring to do. And so the specific volunteer opportunities will be discussed at tonight's meeting. So please plan on joining us here at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for that meeting, and so you can learn more about those specific volunteer opportunities. We're going to be talking about subcommittees and again, how you can help us meet the goals that we have set and are setting for this organization. And that looks like all the announcements that I have here. And at this point, we will we'll have another song prior to beginning the service here. So I will turn this mic back over to Lynn.
Let's go.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. Yeah, another great song. I find that I'm a little nervous this morning, and I realize that's because little me, Jacqueline, thinks that she needs to do something here and somewhere. I know that that's absolutely not true. At this point in the service, it's our point of invocation for prayer and or time of silence. And I would pray this morning. I would pray that I am able to get out of the way so that the message can come through, that I be given the words to adequately represent He who has sent me, that I feel the joining and the one love with each of you. I am grateful to be here. I am grateful to be joined with you, and I love you all. Amen. Thank you, Roy. Okay, so at this point, we will have a reading by a member. That member happens to be my husband, Tom. Tom was with you a couple of weeks ago and gave the message here. And he is going to do our reading for us this morning. So I will turn it over to Tom. So do we want to tell him where we're reading from?
I suppose we can.
Okay, we're reading out of the Sparkly Edition, or the Sparkle Edition of A Course in Miracles, and
it's starting on page, if you have the Sparkly Edition, it is starting on page 611, about halfway down the page. Nonetheless, here we go. And I will ask for a sound check because I'm a little bit further away from the mic than Jacqueline is. Am I heard? Thank you. Nothing gives meaning where no meaning is. And truth needs no defense to make it true. Illusions have no witnesses and no effects. Who looks on them is but deceived. Forgiveness is the only function here and serves to bring the joy this world denies to every aspect of God's Son where sin was thought to rule. Perhaps you do not see the role forgiveness plays in ending death and all beliefs that rise from mists of guilt. Sins are beliefs which you impose between your brother and yourself. They limit you to time and place and give a little space to you, another little space to him. This separating off is symbolized in your perception by a body which is clearly separate and a thing apart. Yet what this symbol represents is but your wish to be apart and separate. Forgiveness takes away what stands between your brother and yourself. It is the wish that you be joined with him and not apart. We call it wish because it still conceives of other choices and has not yet reached beyond the world of choice entirely. Yet is this wish in line with heaven's state and not in opposition to God's will? Although it falls far short of giving you your full inheritance, it does remove the obstacles which you have placed between the heaven where you are and recognition of where and what you are. Facts are unchanged, yet facts can be denied and thus unknown, though they were known before they were denied. Salvation, perfect and complete, asks but a little wish that what is true be true. A little willingness to overlook what is not there. A little sigh that speaks for heaven as a preference to this world which death and desolation seem to rule. In joyous answer will creation rise within you to replace the world you see with heaven, wholly perfect and complete. What is forgiveness but a willingness that truth be true? What can remain unhealed and broken from a unity which holds all things within itself? There is no sin, and every miracle is possible the instant that the Son of God perceives his wishes and the will of God are one. What is the will of God? He wills his Son have everything, and this he guaranteed when he created him as everything. It is impossible that anything be lost if what you have is what you are. This is the miracle by which creation became your function, sharing it with God. It is not understood apart from him, and therefore has no meaning in this world. Here does the Son of God ask not too much, but far too little. He would sacrifice his own identity with everything to find a little treasure of his own. And this he cannot do without a sense of isolation, loss, and loneliness. This is the treasure he has sought to find. And he could only be afraid of it. Is fear a treasure? Can uncertainty be what you want? Or is it a mistake about your will and what you really are? Let us consider what the error is so it can be corrected, not protected. Sin is belief, attack, can be projected outside the mind where the belief arose. Here is the firm conviction that ideas can leave their source made real and meaningful. And from this error does the world of sin and sacrifice arise. This world is an attempt to prove your innocence while cherishing attack. Its failure lies in that you still feel guilty, though without understanding why. Effects are seen as separate from their source and seem to be beyond you to control or to prevent. What is thus kept apart can never join. Cause and effect are one, not separate. God wills you learn what has always been true, that he created you as part of him. And this must still be true because ideas leave not their source. Such is creation's law, that each idea the mind conceives but adds to its abundance never takes away. This is as true of what is idly wished as what is truly willed, because the mind can wish to be deceived, but cannot make it be what it is not. And to believe ideas can leave their source is to invite illusions to be true, without success. For never will success be possible in trying to deceive the Son of God. The miracle is possible when cause and consequence are brought together, not kept separate. The healing of effect without the cause can merely shift effects to other forms. And this is not release. God's Son could never be content with less than full salvation and escape from guilt. For otherwise, he still demands that he must make some sacrifice, and thus denies that everything is his, unlimited by loss of any kind. A tiny sacrifice is just the same in its effects as is the whole idea of sacrifice. If loss in any form is possible, then is God's Son made incomplete and not himself. He has forsworn his Father and himself, and made them both his enemies in hate. Illusions serve the purpose they were made to serve, and from their purpose they derive whatever meaning that they seem to have. God gave to all illusions that were made another purpose that would justify a miracle, whatever form they took. In every miracle, all healing lies, for God gave answer to them all as one. And what is one to him must be the same. If you believe what is the same is different, you but deceive yourself. What God calls one will be forever one, not separate. His kingdom is united. Thus it was created, and thus it will ever be. The miracle but calls your ancient name, which you will recognize because the truth is in your memory. And to this name, your brother calls for his release and yours. Heaven is shining on the Son of God. Deny him not, that you may be released. Each instant is the Son of God reborn, until he chooses not to die again. In every wish to hurt, he chooses death, instead of what his Father wills for him. Yet every instant offers life to him, because his Father wills that he should live.
Thank you, Tom. Amen. All right. Okay, as I contemplated my message this morning, I realized that that it had actually already been created for me based on my activities lately, so you'll find that some of this, you'll find me reading some of this. What I'd like to start with is an email that I wrote to a friend back home who was contemplating a decision and asking for my help, and I responded to her in an email. So what I'd like to do is start with that. And again, I apologize for reading, but I think that I think that the text of the email really summarizes what it is that I want to share with you this morning. My journey has been one of stepping through my fear. Doing so has informed the rest of the journey. Every time I've stepped through my fear, I've been rewarded for it. I can tell you that I have never, ever regretted doing so. I believe the reason that stepping through the fear has been central to my journey is because there are two things in all of life, and only one of these is true. Love, oneness, or wholeness is our true nature and is experienced as extension or expansion. Fear, separateness, limitation, and lack is who we think we are and is experienced as attack or defense or contraction. Note that for every thought and or action, the expansion or contraction can be felt in our hearts. Thus, noticing how we feel, that is, whether we feel expansive or contracted, helps informs our actions. We see and experience what it is we believe we are. The more expansion we experience, the more expansive we become. Central to this expansion is giving up our own ideas of the way things should work, because these ideas are based on our old, outdated ideas of lack and limitation. So central to this expansion is giving up our own ideas of the way things should work and trusting God or the universe or our higher self to work them out in whatever way is best for us. Keep in mind, of course, that best may be a far cry from the outcome we would choose in any given situation. So, in regard to any decision, the question, what should I do, can be asked in one of two ways. First, does taking the action make me feel expansive? Or does the fear of taking the action make me feel contracted? That is, am I refusing to take the action because of my fears that I am limited or that I might experience lack if this doesn't work out the way I like? Finally, it helps to note that this is not the way the rest of the world generally looks at options. What we normally do is look at the outcome first and then determine the best means of achieving the desired outcome. Trusting that all is well all the time relieves you of that burden and just lets you experience life now. I can tell you that I want to expand on those ideas, but first I want to tell you how I got here. And about a year ago, I determined to review again A Course in Miracles. My mother and father bought A Course in Miracles for me way back in the early 80s, and I've been studying the course off and on since that time, mostly off, I think. But it occurred to me that A Course in Miracles was so heavily steeped in Christian terminology that this terminology can carry a lot of baggage with it, and that the terminology that the Course itself uses can actually obscure the message that the Course is trying to convey. When I first looked at this, I thought, well, maybe it would be helpful to look at this in terms of psychology terms that were being used, given Helen Schuchman's background. Maybe if I looked at it from that perspective, you know, and went into like what Freud was trying to say, and you know, the fact that Helen was drawing on Freud's term and the conscious and superconscious and ego and id, and maybe it would help me to get into it that way. As it turns out, that was not the best way into it for me. But that's where I began about a year ago when I began reading The Course in Miracles very closely once again. One of the things I think that really helped me in this rereading of A Course in Miracles was the Sparkle edition. And I want to thank Teddy for that. I know Teddy and Diamond Publishing puts out the Sparkle edition. And I also early on heard, when I began rereading this, I heard Teddy give a talk about his motivation for publishing this and the differences between this edition and the edition put out by the Foundation for Inner Peace. And that motivated me as well to reread the book. And again, I'm very grateful to Teddy for that. In addition, what's the difference? There's quite a difference. one of the differences, this is occurs early on. One of the differences is in the Sparkle edition. At the beginning, with the principles of miracles, you know, every time I picked up the Course in Miracles to reread it, I was confronted with what seemed to be illogical statements of the principles of miracles at the beginning of the book. The miracles, as they're written here, you know, they were shortened to quite an extent in the Foundation of Inner Peace or whatever they are. sorry, they were shortened quite a bit and just really disjunctive and. They were restored here in the Sparkle edition and really spoke to me in their restored form. If you want to know more about that, I'm sure, I can't recall where I heard Teddy's talk, but I'm sure somebody can hook you up with that. But again, for me, this time around, reading of the book really opened up for me. In addition, as I know you all know, when a truth comes, it comes at you from everywhere. You hear it, you know, you see it in whatever you're reading, you hear various speakers speak about it, and things just come together in a way that drives that truth home. And that's what occurred for me. And so I want to share with you today what I'm calling for me the fundamentals of A Course in Miracles. That once I pulled these thoughts together, absolutely opened up this book for me. And I've made notes of them here. I will read them to some extent, but I really hope to be able to share from my heart what these fundamentals are. So the first of these, wait a minute, let me get a sip of coffee here. Okay, the first of these is concerns what we are versus what we think we are. Okay, what we are. We are whole, complete, unlimited, one. We think that we're limited and lacking, that we could lack for something or for anything. And again, this is really interesting. I went to hear Bentinho Massaro speak one day here in Pueblo. I think Regina set that up for us. Just something that he discussed in that meeting brought this idea home for me. So again, truth is where you find it. And I heard Bentinho say it, and then when I went back, brought this understanding back to A Course in Miracles. Of course, I'm sure you all know that. It's all over the book. It talks about the difference between what we are and what we think we are. So again, we are whole, complete, unlimited, one. We think we are limited. We think we're lacking. We think that we could lack for something. We think that we could lack for anything. Now, my understanding is we think this because we wanted to experience things as we are not. That's the whole point of what we're doing here. We wanted to experience things as they are not. Because all is one, we created separate bodies or separate points of experience to see what it would be like if we were not all one. This is, of course, what the Course in Miracles refers to as the tiny man idea. And thus, our bodies were created as part of this scheme to show us what not one was like. Our bodies and our individual minds are designed to offer us proof of not oneness. All of our anxiety, all of our fear, all of our guilt, our need to attack, our need to be special, all of this derives from our concept of ourselves as limited, as separate, as not one. And the idea behind this is if I really knew that I was one with my brothers, that you and I, that I and my brothers, make up a single indivisible unit. And that, of course, again, is the idea of only one. I think that sometimes as Course students, what we think, we hear, oh, we're all one. You know, it's just the human mind. We're just so limited in our thinking abilities, in our capacity, that when we hear all one, we think of people just standing together, really close together in a room. You know, we just can't get the concept of this one contiguous being. But I believe that if we really knew that we were one with each other, that there was no distinction among us, it would be impossible to conceive of the ideas that if you have more, I have less. That there would be no need for me to attack you if I really got that I was one with you. There would be no need for me to make myself special at your expense. It would be impossible that one could lose. Okay, guys, can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not getting a yes. So, Tom, you'll have to monitor me because I'm not seeing anything at all. So I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right. So I'll pick up hopefully where I left off. I was just saying that and I realize I'm running a little bit over here, and I apologize for that. Okay. So, I was just saying that this idea is similar to what Regina was presenting last week. It's also similar to a quote that I've got from Muji. I can't tell you where I got the quote, but I did write it down when I heard it. Muji says, you consciously or unconsciously are protecting your person, so the truth can't come in. And again, one of the major impediments to the realization of the self is loyalty to the person. So again, to the extent that you think you're a separate person, obviously, with separate interests, that is the quote unquote the problem. If we really knew that we were one with each other, that there was no distinction among us, we would understand that it's impossible that you have more and that I have less, or vice versa. If I really understood that, I would understand that we all gain, or no one does. Beyond that, since I, as a part of we, am all that is, was, or could ever be, wholly unlimited, wholly complete, the whole concept of loss or of less and more is itself meaningless. The next fundamental that opened up ACIM for me was the idea of the perceptual loop. Regina's formulation of this loop is: what I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think. The way this formulation, the way this loop has come through for me, and it's helpful for me to think of it, is: thought creates belief, belief creates experience, and experience creates thought. In other words, what we see, we believe. Because what we believe creates our experience, we look out on the world we see, forgetting that we created it, and point to it as the proof of the way that things are. Continuing to believe in this experience keeps us trapped in the loop. And then the Course speaks, I don't have marked here where it is, but the Course speaks about sin as an adjustment. It says that sin is our adjustment to the belief that the world is as we experience it, that it's a dog-eat-dog world, that we are separate, that I have to look out for mine, you need to get out of my way so I can get mine, that I have interests to protect that are opposed to your interests. That so we make adjustments to our world based on those our beliefs about the world. We make our decisions and choices based on this perception. Forgiveness, in my understanding, is refusing to believe what we see with the body's eyes, what we hear with the body's ears. In other words, forgiveness is the willingness to look beyond the apparent separation that our senses tell us is the way that things are. Forgiveness is maintaining the belief and the desire to believe that all is one, and then acting on that belief. These are the thoughts that I think with God. This is bringing myself into alignment with God. These are the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. These are my holy thoughts. Forgiveness, then, is simply remembering that I cannot suffer from lack, from loss, or limitation. How could I possibly suffer from lack or loss or limitation if I am all that is? If I remember that I am whole and one with you, that we are in reality one contiguous being, that I don't end at my fingertips and you begin at yours, that is forgiveness. I cannot suffer from lack or loss or limitation. You cannot suffer from lack or loss or limitation. So, what's required of me in regard to every thought, every contemplated action or response is for me to ask myself whether the thought or the action is an affirmation of my belief that I'm limited, my belief that I'm lacking, my belief that I'm subject to suffering loss, or whether that contemplated thought or action or response is an affirmation that I'm unlimited, that I'm complete, that I'm whole, that I'm one with those around me. Because of the perceptual loop, I must begin to act in accordance with what I wish to see rather than what my senses seem to be reporting to me. That is, I need to give up sin. I need to quit adjusting my life to what I believe are my lacks, my limitations, my need to get mine before you get yours, and I need to act out of forgiveness. I need to act out of my belief, my knowledge that you and I are one, that no one gains, no one loses. So, how do I do this? Jesus says, the key is asking, how do I feel? For me, this has been an excellent practice. Love, or the belief in wholeness, oneness, completeness, unlimitedness, is an expansion. And love feels like an expansion in my heart. Fear, or the belief in lack, in limitation, in sacrifice, feels like a contraction. Thus, whenever I consider a thought, or an action, or a response, I check within, I feel in my heart whether that feels expansive or whether I feel a contraction. Now, here's the good part. The good part is all that we're required to do is to notice whether I feel expansive or contracted. The Holy Spirit, or our true self, will do the rest. If I'm able to step through the fear and pursue the action that feels more expansive, that's wonderful. I'm that much further ahead. I'm that much better off. I'm that much further ahead for the next time that I encounter this same seeming dilemma. So if I'm able to step through the fear and take the more expansive action, awesome. If not, that's fine too, because all I'm required to do is notice. The key then is never to judge, but always notice. That's vigilance. And finally, the final key for me, in both in terms of living this and in terms of opening up what ACIM has to say to me, is knowing that forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time. Because we, who are a single indivisible unit, are all that is, has been, or could ever be, experiencing all we have made up to experience, we cannot suffer any lack or loss. Okay? Forgiveness is knowing that all is well all the time. The only reason we demand, you know, for me that's been so helpful, because I look at something and it looks messed up. It looks like something that I don't want. But the truth is, all is well all the time. The only reason that I demand certain outcomes in any situation is to ward off current or future lack, is to ward off, you know, I think I need this, this, and this to be happy. I think that if I don't have this, that somehow I'm going to suffer, that I'm going to lose, that I'm going to lack. And the truth is, all is well all the time. I don't have that responsibility to make sure that I'm okay. Because guess what? Because I am all that is well all the time. I am all that is. Okay, not little Jacqueline. I am a part of this contiguous being with you where there is no loss, there is no lack. So why do I need a certain situation to be a certain way? I don't. Therefore, when I look at any situation, I can say, gee, all is well. All is well all the time. So if I'm discouraged, if I'm depressed, if I'm fearful, angry, resentful, feeling unloved, I need merely remember, all is well all the time, and thus there's nothing that I need to do to change this situation. My task is simply to allow it to be as it is. That's those are my ACIM fundamentals, and I hope those came across for you, and I hope that they can be as powerful for you as they are for me, and I appreciate the opportunity to share them with you. Thank you. And what we'll do now is we will have an opportunity for contemplation. Lynn is going to play another song for us. Barb will be posting a donation link at this time. As an organization, we of course have to pay those bills, and we appreciate your help in doing that. And again, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to share, and I'll let go of the mic so Lynn can play that song for us.
What I see when I look into your eyes tells me who I am, that I might realize the truth about myself and you. When I look back at where I've been, the dream, it seems serene, and desolation was all around. That was the only thing that I could feel. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. So many roads we've all walked down, seeming to go nowhere, all came together in the end to that raw highway that takes us out of here. I wandered alone and friendless, my heart filled with despair, until I opened up my eyes and finally I saw you there. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that's all you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home again. When you see your brother standing on the road, you think I'll just pass him by. Remember what he offers you. Open your heart and let him come inside. No one can leave here alone. In heaven all souls are joined. My brother is none other than myself, and no one will be left behind. But I thought you were another on a path apart from mine. Then I raised my head and looked into your eyes, and the love that saw you are and all you've ever been just reaches out to me and takes me home.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's a great song. I love that song. Thank you, Lynn, for playing it for us. At this point, we're ready for open sharing. Again, we are an assembly of equals, so, and we're all one, in case you didn't hear that a minute ago. So, who would like to share? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to just give up the mic here and let you pick it up as you would.
All right, I will pick it up. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. Wonderful, wonderful message. And really, this is what I'm seeing more and more and more every day. These fundamentals that you have pointed out in A Course in Miracles are just totally the fundamentals for any and all spiritual paths. And, it is very simple. But like Jesus tells us in the Course, it's not simple for twisted minds. And so, really, now is the time for us to unravel the mind, unravel the thinking, and to return to our natural state in which we are one. And it's not just one, only one. It is all one. All of mind, all of us is one. Not just the group of us together. It's not a just and only. It is all. And that is much, much different. So thank you so much, Jacqueline. And someone else jump in and say what you're thinking here.
Jacqueline, Barb here. I just wanted to thank you very much. I really enjoyed what you had to say. I also had never really looked at it like that, but it certainly makes a lot of sense to me that forgiveness is all is well all the time. And I'd never really looked at it like that. For many years, I didn't understand what forgiveness was. Many, many years. And there's many different ways to say it. But I like this. Forgiveness is all is well all of the time. That was perfect. Thank you very much.
Okay. I just want I want to tell you all what gratitude that that I have in my heart this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you all so much. It's just it's beyond words the gratitude that I feel for each of you. Thank you for joining us for the service. Is there anybody else that wanted to say anything? If so, now would be the time, because otherwise we will wrap this thing up. I love you all dearly. Okay, and Dove wants to speak, so I'm going to give this mic up. Here you go, Dove.
Yeah, I just want to say, Jacqueline, you touched on so many very clear points that you made clear, not always understood and heard as clearly as you actually spelled them out. I did say earlier there's a very powerful sharing here. We're so used to being stuck in scarcity and thinking that if I give something, I won't have it. And you made it so clear that basically, when there is one of us, I know it's, as you pointed out, the mind can't really, the dualistic mind, the binary perception mind that sees two can't possibly wrap its mind around the idea of oneness. That's why so many people find the Course seems to be, you know, well, what do you mean by that? You know, the more I give, the more I have to give. And that is the law of love. The law of love is what I give to myself. The binary mind cannot really grok that, you might say. But you made it so clear, and, you know, I know that Lynn has the recording of it. I also recorded it, but if you go back and listen to what Jacqueline has said here and shared here, you'll actually get a real jump, a leap forward in wherever you are, because she made it so, so, so clear. Thank you so much, Jacqueline.
Yeah, I was listening to that. It's pretty good. You guys hearing me?
Hello?
Great. Yeah, you know, forgiveness to me is, I was trying to explain it to a neighbor the other day who doesn't really understand much about the Course. And they think forgiveness, you know, I've forgiven everyone that's ever harmed me, you know. And I say, you know, forgiveness to me is not having a story. Is not accepting your brother's story and not having your story. Because our stories come from, you know, this powerful computer that we've made called our brain, where all our stories are stored. So we pull them out, you know, and that's being unforgiving. To me, anyway, forgiveness is not telling a story, and it's really just opening your mind and letting God tell you the story or tell you what's happening right now. And the more you practice that, the more you don't even want to tell a story. You know, it's funny because, you know, I mean, I tell the doctors this stuff, and they say I'm completely crazy, bipolar, you know, and I'm like, I just teach the Course to them, and it makes me insane in the world. So anyway, that's all I got to say. If you teach the Course, people will think you're crazy. So at least most of them will. Anyway, thanks.
That's great. Thanks, Gary. Well, I hope you think I'm crazy then. all right, folks. I think at this time we are to we're to have a closing song. And, yeah, don't forget. Thank you, Dove. Don't forget the member meeting tonight. And that, again, is at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's going to cover the Costa Rica retreat. People are going to share about their experience there, and we'll talk about the upcoming retreat in Canyon City, Colorado, and as well as volunteer opportunities with Awakening Together and opportunities to participate by being a subcommittee member. So at this point, I'll turn it back over to Lynn for our closing song. Thank you all again so much. I love you all dearly.
My brother.